السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, we are very fortunate that we have today حضرت مولانا سعید احمد سعید نولاکی amongst us. Just as سینہا has become a household name, the name of مولانا احمد سعید نولاکی has also become a household name. He is the theological director of سینہا. In the marketplace there are a maze of products. In the past we had large number of organizations which were issuing certificates, halal certificates. On the strength of these certificates we purchased products from the market, and not knowing we were consuming so many items which had haram ingredients, because the issuers of the certificates themselves were not aware of the technicalities in the production of these items. For example, who would expect pork related products to form ingredients of corn flakes, sauces and other such kind of items? So Mawlana Sayyid Nawlaki is an expert in this field. He has done thorough research and investigations, and alhamdulillah has brought to light the dubious methods that were being adopted by certain manufacturers. And also, to a large extent, this duplicity of certificates has come under control. The need to eat halal cannot be overemphasized. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu minat tayyibat wa'amalu saliha. So even the Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala told, eat of the tayyibat. The time is too limited to give you any detailed introduction to Mawlana, but inshallah, by listening to him, our iman will become refreshed, and at least our resolve to eat nothing but halal, on which is dependent the acceptance of our du'as, will become even more stronger, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is indeed an honor for me to be here on this Mubarak and auspicious occasion of Jum'ah in the presence of Ulama-i Kiram and especially our Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib. However, I feel a bit uneasy, and I feel it is a bit disrespectful for me to be standing whilst he is sitting. But upon his instruction, I will say a few words. I am a student of Deen, and inshallah till the day of our death we should all remain as students of the Deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the sincerity of intention and accept whatever endeavors and whatever striving every Muslim in his individual or collective capacity is endeavoring to achieve. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد, فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا يدخل الجنة جسد غضي بالحرام, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The mushrikeen in Mecca came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in fact the Yahud, and told him that there is an ayah and a verse revealed in the kitab, in your kitab, which if it was revealed to us, we would have commemorated and celebrated Eid on that day. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the second Khalifa of Islam, regarding whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that if after me there would have been a Nabi, it would have been Umar radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him great insight and foresight, and he immediately knew which ayah the Yahud were making reference towards. It was this very ayah that I recited in the khutbah, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. That this day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have perfected for you your deen, and I have completed my favors upon you, and I have chosen for you Deen-i-Islam as a deen. Islam has been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for humanity till the day of Qiyamah, since He had perfected it and completed it. And there will be no amendments, no review of the ahkam ilahiyya or the ahkam and the laws of the sharia till the day of Qiyamah. And if any other ism or fashion or way other than that of Islam is chosen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. It will be rejected of that person, it will not be accepted. Respected brothers, what does this deen comprise of? Does this deen comprise of only coming to the masjid 5 times a day? Does deen comprise only of donning Islamic garb? No. Deen encompasses and embraces a Muslim's life, a believer's life, in every facet, every moment, every second of his life, from the day he is born till the day he is lowered into his qabr. Whether it be his social life, whether it be his business life, whether it be the manner in which he treats his employers and employees, whether it be the manner in which he lives with his family, with his wife and his children, every facet, the manner in which he eats, the manner in which he dresses, the manner in which he speaks, every aspect of a believer's life is governed by the sharia. And every aspect of this life has certain do's and don'ts, which we in shari'i terms regard as items or things which are halal and which are haram. Halal and haram, whilst we will today be specifically talking on the aspect of food, however, it encompasses every other facet of his life. There are things that you can do in terms of your clothing, you can wear in terms of your clothing which are halal, and there are clothing which are haram, which are prohibited by the sharia. There is manner of speech and manner of talking and conversing with people which is haram, and there is the manner which is halal and permitted. Similarly, if we look at every other facet, whether it be our business, whether it be our trading and transacting, every other facet, there are items which are halal in that particular sphere and items which are haram. Specifically, today we want to shed a bit of light on the importance of halal consumption and the emphasis on abstention from haram. It may be regarded as an obsession on my part, but I can say with much conviction in the light of the ahadith and the Quran, ayat of the Quran Kareem, that the maladies that are plaguing the ummah in this time, largely it is due to the fact that we are becoming more and more indifferent with regards haram, and sometimes not indifferent for the sake of indifference, but sometimes due to ignorance, as Walana rightly mentioned, that there were many a things we were consuming without even knowing what the reality of that item is, what its composition is, what are the things that they are adding to it. It may be just a simple neutral item like a potato, but processed, we find that there's pork extracts been put into it. And wallahi, I am convinced of the fact that our moving away from deen, or even sitting in the masjid listening to the words of deen, but it is merely going to our ears, not penetrating into the heart. Day in and day out, week in and week out, year in and year out, the ulama-i kiram, our elders, continuously enjoin us to abstain, enjoin us to do good, and continuously warn us against the evils of misdeeds and sin. Yet we find that there is difficulty in abiding by these teachings. The cause simply is what we are feeding, and the fuel that we are putting into this very body of ours is polluted, is contaminated, by virtue of which that nur which is created by halal food is not being created. In fact, the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ mentions to the effect that haram devours spirituality. Haram is a cause, haram consumption is a cause for one's dua is not being accepted. The hadith that I mentioned in the khutbah, لا يدخل الجنة جسد غضي بالحرام وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, that the flesh which has been, the body which has been nourished what haram will not enter Jannah. And just as we have external purification, we've got to be parked, the body has to be clean, the clothes has to be clean. Similarly, and truly, external impurities is very easy to remove. If you wash external impurity, you are parked. No matter how severe that impurity may be, but with washing, within moments, you are parked and clean. But with internal impurities, where the very food that we consume nourishes the flesh of our body, to remove those impurities is indeed a major problem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, that our internal selves and our flesh be contaminated and polluted with haram. A hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to mind, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past two graves, and they weren't graves of the kuffar, they were graves of believers. And as he walked past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals certain circumstances and instances to his pious servants. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam witnessed them being punished in the qabr. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَا يُعَذِّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. They weren't being punished due to a major sin. They were being punished due to two sins. One was, أَمَّا الْأَوَّلْ فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. The first one used to carry tales from one place to the other and create fasad in this manner, create dispute between two people in this manner. And the other, وَأَمَّا الْآخَرْ فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَنْزِهُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ. He wasn't careful from the drops of urine. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says further, استنزه من البول فإن عامة عذاب القبر منه. Exercise great caution from urine drops, because the most common adab of the qabr is due to those urine drops. Now this is external impurity. For internal impurity, where one's heart becomes blackened, consumption of haram, committing of sin, where you pollute your inside and devour your spirituality, what is the cleansing process for that? Whilst we have an opportunity in this life, it's tawbah and istighfar. And once you depart from this world, it is adab. If you are cleansed through the process of purification in the qabr, may Allah protect us all, then you will be saved from the punishment of the day of qiyamah. And if the purification process did not cleanse you in the qabr, then it will continue on the day of qiyamah. And Allah forbid, if then too you were not purified and cleansed, then it will continue in Jahannam. A'adhan Allahu min. Respected brothers, it is absolutely important that we take cognizance of the fact that what we eat is what we are. If we eat halal, our a'mal will be halal, our a'mal will be salih. If we eat haram, similarly our deeds will be the fruits of that. The ayah of the Quran Kareem, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal rusul kulu min at-tayyibati wa amalu saliha, is clear. It tells you clearly that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins halal consumption, the correlation immediately thereafter is you will get amal saliha coming forth therefrom. An incident of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, when he visited Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, his ustad, and they entertained him that evening, and whatever was presented before him, he finished everything. And it was unusual, it was regarded not etiquette that you clean everything that is presented. And thereafter water was put, that when he wakes up for tahajjud, he will use that water to perform his wudu. But that water was totally unused. After Fajr Salah, the children of the household came to Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah and told him, you speak so very highly of the student, but whatever we presented in the evening, he cleared everything. And thereafter, we left water for him to perform tahajjud salah. But that water was not even used. It seemed that he even made his fajr salah without making wudu. Imam Shafi rahimahullah then went to his student Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah and said, this is the complaint from the household. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal replied that I came to the house of my ustad and I knew that I cannot get more halal food than this anyway. And the anwar that emanated from this halal food that I consumed kept me up the whole night in ibadah. As a result of which I didn't have to use the water because I was awake all the time. Respected brothers, halal food, every endeavor must be made that we ensure that we eat halal, that our families eat halal. And truly, don't on surface value for many a year, we have been accepting products as halal. If we go 15, 20 years ago, our parents and grandparents used to slaughter their own chicken, and that's the chicken that that's the meat that used to be eaten. Used to go to the farms nearby and cut a sheep, and that used to be shared amongst the family members. Today, everything that we use in the home is processed, is ready-made. In fact, to the extent that there's even ready foods now that you just take and put into the microwave oven, and in 2 minutes your meal is ready. It is frightening. I'm not trying to create paranoia, but we should be vigilant about what we consume. Simple things like potato snacks and breads and confectionery items and sweets and chocolates that we would not even bet an eyelid or think the least that there would be haram in there. We are finding additives that are being used in these processed items which are from haram sources. We have to exercise extreme caution. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the first Khalifa of Islam, the father of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, the mother of the believers, once he was presented some food by his slave, and that food was purchased from income which was questionable. It was normally his practice that he would ask the slave, where did you get this from? And upon inquiry he would be told and then he would consume. But he had, for that day, forgot to ask the slave. And the slave then immediately said, O master, you have not inquired where I derived this from. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, then tell me. And he mentioned that during the days of Jahiliyyah, somebody owed me money. I used to do black magic and somebody owed me money, and from that money I had purchased this. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu immediately put his fingers into his mouth, down his throat, and induced vomiting to an extent that people were wondering, why is he going through such pains? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu then said, I would have preferred to lose my life than to allow this morsel of food to nourish my body. This is the conviction and the true understanding they had regarding the importance of consuming halal. Today we are here. 15, 20 years down the line, wallahi, we don't even know what the situation is going to be. Genetic modification of foods has commenced already. And the consumers, we as consumers, don't even know. So many of our vegetables are already being genetically modified. And modified with what? Allah alone knows, whether it is animal enzymes, whether it is pork enzymes. What we have to do is we have to understand that these structures that have been set up for the benefit of the community, we should make dua for them firstly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them sincerity of intention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen them and grant them such resources that they will be able to serve not only us but our generations to come. Alhamdulillah, with the tawajjuhat and the du'as of our elders, in a short period of time, this organization has achieved milestones. In a short period of 5 years, Allah is my witness, I was serving on the Jamiatul Ulama Transvaal's halal department for about 12 years. And due to the collective effort of the ulama and the Muslim community at a national level, we have achieved what we wouldn't have achieved in maybe 30, 40 years if we would have operated individually. And truly, if Muslims, if the Ummah unite on a common platform on any given issue, on the basis of ikhlas and sincerity, then the impossible can be achieved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts and give me and all of us the tawfiq to ensure that we embrace deen in its totality. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.